Welcome to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports, where we explore every corner of the women's sports industry from the field to the front office. I'm Caroline Fitzgerald, and I'm here to prove that it's good business to be in the business of women's sports. Today's episode is brought to you by Ally, a change maker in women's sports, steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity, because we're all better off with an ally. Our guest today is Dave Gaspar, a partner and the head of innovation at Gather, who recently led the charge on Gather's latest data report, which focused on sponsorships in women's sports. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hello, Caroline. Thanks so much for having me on the pod today.
Thank you so much for coming on. And I'm super excited for today's convo because your team just conducted some pretty important research. So the report, which your team exclusively dropped via Front Office Sports, focused on sponsorships in women's sports and specifically highlighted the disparities between men's and women's sports sponsorships among Fortune 500 companies. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dig into all the data, all the findings. But before we jump in, we love to start by hearing more about our guests. So can you give us the quick overview of your background? What has been your career journey that led you to Gather?
Caroline, thanks again for having me. Sure, I'd love to give you some background there. So I actually started out of college as an investment banker, still recovering from that one, white knuckle journey as it is. But when I was there, I learned the price of companies, what I was buying, selling, financing companies. I actually got hired away by GE, one of America's great companies. And I really learned the value of brand as we were buying and building companies for them. And the next stage is actually going to sort of sound like I invented the question mark, but I was part of the founding team of the first influencer marketing company. Believe it or not, it's called HitFuse. And way back in 2008, we represented 50 of the top 100 YouTube stars, which is actually what we were calling them. We didn't call them influencers back then. We called them YouTube stars. So that really is where we came to understand the level of branding. We were too early for that industry, which really didn't exist yet. But that's where I learned the value of the personal brand. So understanding price of companies, understanding the price, the value of brand, and then really understanding the value of the personal brand. And actually from the founder of that company, a guy named Walter Sabo, I learned something also was really important, which is don't judge the crowd, follow it. We spent several years counseling the world's largest brands that these influencers, not again what we called them at the time, but today, these influencers were a dynamic and impactful addition to their marketing mix. And actually, after that startup failed, I joined my current business partner, and we've been building Gather for almost 15 years now. Gather, I'm sure we'll get into this more, but it's a contemporary marketing consultancy, providing marketing strategy to creative development, to MarTech implementations. I'm a marketing strategist here, and I put my background understanding price, value, and brand together to work for my clients.
That's so interesting. Okay, so you just gave us the quick overview of what Gather is, but what are you guys doing on a daily basis?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, at Gather, amongst a bunch of other things, I run our sports sponsorship strategy practice. It's here that I've come really across the emerging value of women's sports. Again, why we're here today. But had to remember that it's not judging the crowd, but to follow it to value. Larger, I think what's really important about Gather, actually more important about what we do is with whom we do it. So one note to Gather, it's really worth mentioning here. We are a collective. We work with independent practitioners of their various marketing crafts, and we package that offering to our clients through team as a service, or something that we coined called TAS. So this continuation of my career is really based on the accumulation of the understanding from all those piece parts. Because now we're taking individuals with skills, but not brand, and we're wrapping it with a value packaging of our firm's referral-only process to offer our clients something they could never afford or the time to develop, which is access to independent talent. That's really what Gather is all about.
That's incredible. So you're at Gather. You guys do a lot of incredible work. But one thing that I mentioned at the top that you did recently is this big research project where you dug into the disparities among sports sponsorships, specifically among Fortune 500 companies. So let's dig into it. What are some of the things that you found through this research? What are the key findings of this report?
Before we get to the findings, I really thought it was important to get to the brief, because I'm not about creating a report just to create a report. There's a lot of information out there. But we started looking for comparison data around the relative corporate activity in men's versus women's sports. And frankly, we couldn't find the parity that I was looking for. I reached out to some folks in my network, and we started to dive into existing research. And I just wasn't finding what I wanted. All the research was focused on specific deals or industry sizing or growth metrics around viewership or fandom. We found a lot of intel around pricing, market sizing, but not necessarily who. This is the key here. Who was participating? So we went about finding that proxy for current disparity in corporate sponsorships. We want to understand the disparity between men's and women's sports. And we came up with this report. And again, any research report, you can go and boil the ocean. But we tried to figure out, so professional sports sponsorship activities among Fortune 500 companies. Specifically, we looked at those Fortune 500 companies because they're the bellwethers of corporate America. And frankly, they're a big enough sample size to get meaningful results. But we wanted to create this apples to apples. We want to be fair. So we created an apples to apples comparison of current corporate sponsorships between the men's and women's professional sports. We looked at just North American teams. We created a snapshot for Q2 of 24, again, looking at these Fortune 500 companies and their relative sponsorship activities across the only three major sports leagues that both the men and women have in common. This was the apples to apples. So we looked at basketball, NBA versus the WNBA. We looked at soccer, the MLS versus the NWSL. And as of last year, we looked at hockey, which is the NHL versus the PWHL. So the analysis is intended to describe the relative level of interest from Fortune 500 companies sponsoring teams men's versus teams women's sports, but does not explore the specific investment they're making in those teams and league level. Again, we found that there was a fair amount of research out there about dollar sizing, but not necessarily the who. So this really focuses on the who.
Incredible. And this is an analysis that definitely needed to be done. I think in the women's sports industry, we have a gut feeling about what was happening here, but we didn't have the exact breakdown of what was going on. So as I dug into this, the finding that I was most surprised to learn, but honestly not that surprised in the end, was that only 6% of Fortune 500 companies were sponsoring these pro women's sports teams and leagues. So I have to ask, Dave, were you surprised by these findings, or what else did you learn from this report that really jumped out to you?
You know, a lot of things about the data when we got into the research here was surprising, and a lot of it, frankly, was not. But all of this data really needs to be taken on a relative basis. On its own, they're really misleading, right? So looking at 6% on its own, 6% of Fortune 500 companies sponsoring women's sports sounds really low. It is low. It's lower than we'd like it to be. But it's a comparison, right? So when you look at men's sports, that number is only 20%. It's not like 100% of Fortune 500 companies are sponsoring men's sports. So it's not 100-1, right? It's a 20% figure versus a 6% figure. That's about a 3-1 ratio. Frankly, it's better than I expected when I jumped into the data. To put into perspective, right? So of those men's corporate sponsors, half of those companies are sponsoring more than one men's team. But here's the heartening part. About 40% of women's corporate sponsors are sponsoring more than one women's team. So our insight at this point is that once these companies decide to participate, they're dipping more than a toe into the water. And I think that really is fantastic news for the industry. If you'll allow me a couple more facts that we just, you know, for your data nerds out there, I would love to get into this more. But here's some more facts. So in total, there are 99 companies sponsoring 275 sponsorships from this comp set across those three men's leagues. Across the comparative women's set, there are only 33 companies. Those 33 are involved with 57 partnerships. So 99 versus 33, 275 versus 57. All right, so let's break it down. Too many numbers for an audio format. So on a pure comp basis, right, that's greater than 3-1. We talked about that. On a relative sponsorship activity basis, it's almost 5-1. So to say the least, there's room for growth and hopefully more towards the parity element here. And I think that's really what we're trying to get to understand what's happening and have corporations really have a strategy around why they want to get into these women's sports.
Very interesting. Thank you so much for breaking all that down. And, you know, it's clear that, yeah, 20% for men. So it's not like 100% of Fortune 500 companies are sponsoring men's or women's sports, but it is still, that's still a ratio I don't like to see, with 6% to women, 20% to men. So why do you think that these companies and brands in general are still slower to sponsor women's sports than men's sports?
We cut the data along some other lines as well. We looked at it from the specific sports. Let's go to that part of the research. So for basketball, the NBA had 48 Fortune 500 sponsors. The WNBA had 15. Again, that's 6-3-1 ratio. For soccer, we actually saw some improvement here, right? So the MLS, They have even more sponsors. They have 51, right? Even more than the NBA has. But the NWSL has 19. So that's 2.5 to 1. Already, we're starting to see some improvement here. I think that a lot of that is, you know, women's soccer has become way more prevalent. You know, for hockey, we actually saw the biggest numbers and the greatest disparity. So there are 50 Fortune 500 sponsors for the NHL versus only 3 sponsors for the PWHL. So that's a 16 to 1 ratio. Pretty big disparity. One caveat here, though, right? So we recognize that PWHL just finished its first season and that over the last several months, there have been a significant uptick in interest in women's sports generally. And I was actually just speaking with the head of sponsorships for the PWHL, and there's an enormous opportunity and interest in women's hockey. I think we're going to see that number come down, that ratio improve.
That's super interesting. And yeah, as I dug into this research, I honestly wasn't that surprised to see the discrepancies between basketball, knowing that the NBA has had a 50-year head start on the WNBA. So I wasn't that shocked. Am I happy with it? No, but it wasn't that surprising. And then same with the PWHL, just knowing how new they are to market. The one that did surprise me, and I know this is the one where there is the least amount of a gap, but I was pretty surprised by the MLS and the NWSL. You referenced the number, but 19 Fortune 500 companies sponsor the NWSL, 51 sponsor the MLS. But as far as apples to apples, professional women's sports and professional men's sports leagues go, we see so many examples with the NWSL outperforming the MLS. We see it apples to apples with viewership, attendance, growth, everything across the board. So I was surprised to see that even though we have the data to back up, that the NWSL is arguably a more exciting property to get involved with than the MLS. We're still seeing these gaps when it comes to sponsorship there.
Yeah, so let me add, there's some more data here that I think is really, that speaks to that. And I think this comes to the corporations who have decided to invest, and they're people behind corporations, believe it or not. Those individuals who have decided to invest have done so in some significant ways. So actually, this is probably the most heartening data that I've seen. On individual sports, right? So among the Fortune 500 companies, basketball, right? We're seeing 77% representation across the teams of Fortune 500. We're seeing 83% for women across the WNBA. So the Fortune 500 companies who are there, again, across a broader spectrum of those teams than they are for basketball. Let's look at soccer. 80 for men's, 85 for women, right? Again, those who have come in are coming in more significantly and seeing that opportunity across the broader swath of those teams. Here's my favorite one, though. 97% Fortune 500 company sponsorship across the NHL, but a 100% sponsorship across the PWHL. Now, it's a smaller league, fewer teams, but the corporations who are there really want to sponsor this sport and they want to be across those industries. So I think that part of the data has been really telling that, again, once the companies come in, they are, I'm sure, seeing the ROI on those investments. And making sure this is about the dollars and not just the movement. But I'm glad the movement is getting us, again, one on the podcast to talk about it today, but also getting those corporations to want to invest.
When you say representation, can you just clarify what that means? So you mean like if a brand's coming in, they're sponsoring every team in the league, or they're showing up more, or they're spending more dollars? Like what do you mean by that?
Sure. So when we look at, say, the MLS, so there are 30 teams in the MLS. We're looking at that and saying, okay, there's 24 of those 30 teams that are sponsored by a Fortune 500. When I look at the NWSL, 13 teams, 11 of those are sponsors. So that's what I'm talking about when I speak to representation. So it's not one company sponsoring all of those 13 teams. It's of the 13 teams of the NWSL, how many of those are sponsored by a Fortune 500?
Thank you for clarifying that. Really, really helpful. All right, Dave, I just have a few more questions for you. This is so interesting. I think, there's a lot of ways that we could slice this. I think information is power, though, just to understand the landscape so then we can react and grow the industry from there. But there's certainly a lot of challenges that lie ahead for the women's sports industry. What are some of those roadblocks that you think are the biggest ones that are in place to keep us from growth?
So I think there's two pieces. I think one is data and two is conversation. And frankly, I'm here to try to help with both of those. I think there's a lot of people out there trying to create data to inform our decisions. But we have to be having those conversations inside the boardroom. And I think that's the most important piece. So it's not that women's sports is right for every corporation. Anybody who tells you that is giving you bad strategy. But the answer is every corporation should have a strategy around women's sports. The answer may be yes. The answer may be no. But they need the strategy. Frankly, we did this research because we wanted to speak to those corporations to inform them, of help them create that strategy, figure out what it is that they should be doing in their sports sponsorship portfolio. And does women's sports have an opportunity for them? Is there a place for them there? If so, where? If not, great. But we have a reason. So when someone asks the next time they're on stage, or when their CEO asks, there should be a reason for inside of every single sports sponsorship organization as to why yes or why no.
I think that's a great answer. And I agree. I don't think that the customers of women's sports are a fit for who every brand out there should be targeting. I think it's important to have that strategy and understand the who is following women's sports, and then have a reason for yes or no, your brand should be sponsoring or getting into the business of women's sports. So I appreciate you laying that out. Dave, is there anything from this research or otherwise, just looking around at the women's sports landscape, that really gives you hope for the future of the women's sports industry and where we go from here?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. The first is I really found that women's sports today is a bit of an echo chamber. It's mostly people who are already bought in, who love it, and who want to talk to each other about how much they love it. I'm really happy that I'm here. I'm here because of the data, not because of the passion, just to be clear. But I want more people like me to be here who see the opportunity and the ROI from this industry, and frankly, would like to prove the case to more partners to bring in more opportunity for these leagues.
Dave, that's what we're doing here. We're making the business case for women's sports. We're using the data to talk about one of the most exciting opportunities in the sports industry today. So thank you for bringing it to the table. Thank you for conducting this research. And believe it or not, I only have a few more questions for you before we're wrapped up here today. So we're going to take a quick break to hear a message from our brand sponsor, and then we'll be back to close out this conversation.
As you may know, the goal of this podcast is to show brands, networks, and people in general that it's good business to invest in women's sports. Our sponsor, Ally, shares this belief and knows firsthand the power of investing in women's sports. That's why, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, the Atlantic Coast Conference, and the United States Golf Association, they were the first brand to commit to equal media spend in women's and men's sports, because they believe brands have the power to solve media disparity and positively affect the financial trajectory of people's lives. So jump in and be part of the change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com, because we're all better off with an ally.
All right, Dave, we're back. And I just have a few quick questions for you before we're wrapped up today. And these are questions that we always close with on the podcast. So, number one, if you could wave a magic wand and create equity in one aspect of sports right now, what would it be?
I would love to have a magic wand in a whole bunch of different spaces, but here in women's sports, you know, I've said it before, but I'll reiterate it. I would want every company to have a strategy around women's sports, right? So every corporate sponsorship team should have a strategy around women's sports.
That's interesting. We haven't had that answer on the podcast here before, but I think that's great. Everyone should have a strategy behind sports sponsorship in general. And that, of course, includes women's sports. All right, Dave, before we get to our final question, is there anything else that you'd like to plug or anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Sure. I'd love people to come check out the research for themselves. Gather.co/dispatch. You'll see the research there. You get a link to download it. And frankly, I'd love to continue the conversation. I know Goals has an amazing listenership. So come reach out to me. dgaspar@gather.co. Come reach out. Let's talk about it. I'd like to help, you know, companies create the strategy around women's sports. Why yes, why no? We should have a strategy here.
That's great, Dave. And we'll make sure we link to Gather and we link directly to the research so everybody can connect and everybody can check out the work that your team has done. All right. Last question. Can you summarize in a few sentences why you think it's good business to invest in women's sports?
Yeah. First of all, I think the hurdle is lower to get in. If you look at those types of things, think about it from a real estate perspective, you have a low enough basis, you can always make money on your deal. I think it's the same thing here with women's sports. The hurdles lower, the dollars to get in are just smaller than they are to get into the equivalent men's side. I think there's just opportunity there. Two, growth rate. Growth rate's higher. We're going to see an expansion here. So this is like getting in early on a stock. And I think both of those are going to lead to better ROI. But you'll have to have me back after we do our next research report. And we got a piece on that topic as well. So hopefully we get to chat about this again.
I love that, Dave. And we will anxiously wait for that. And of course, would love to have you back whenever the time comes. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. Thanks for conducting this research. Thanks for, you know, just spreading the word about the business case for women's sports. Really appreciate it. And I'm excited for all that's to come from you and Gather.
Well, thank you, Caroline. And thank you, Goal listeners. Appreciate your ears today.
Thank you for listening to the Goals podcast, the business case for women's sports presented by Ally, a changemaker in women's sports steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity, because we're all better off with an ally. To learn more about Goals and our work to bring more brand investment into women's sports, be sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram, or visit our website at goals-sports.com. And remember, it's simply good business to be in the business of women's sports.